You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to the first episode of Love's a Pitch, a podcast where people put themselves out there in hopes that the love of their life or loves of their life or secondary or thirdary or friends with benefits or future ex or whatever it is they're looking for, with hopes that this person or people are listening. I am inviting guests who are looking to make a connection, they think they're worthy of it, and they want to talk about it. And if you're not looking for a connection for yourself, you should listen anyway and not just to play matchmaker, because this is ultimately going to be a conversation exploring relationships, desires, and dating in the LGBTQ plus community. Why am I excluding straight people? I don't know how to talk to them. Okay, maybe I do, but I'm not here to promote the straight agenda, right? And that shouldn't be a surprise to those of you who already know me. I am your host, Carolyn Bergier. Thank you so much for joining. Some of you do know me already from the podcast Dyking Out, or maybe some of my live shows, or I'm your daughter. And if so, now is a good time to stop listening, Mom. Or maybe this is your first time meeting me. I'm what I consider to be the opposite of a triple threat, which is a writer, comedian, and podcaster. I started Love's a Pitch as a live dating show, actually, and that happened last year on Valentine's Day at a Brooklyn lesbian bar called Ginger's. So they had asked me to do a show on Valentine's Day, and I just came up with this idea. I wanted to have people have a shot at love, but I didn't want it to be humiliating or embarrassing in any way, because I had actually years ago at my sister's room in Atlanta, I was one of three contestants, and there was one person they were trying to match us with. We had to answer questions. That person couldn't look at us. It was messy. It was embarrassing. I don't know. Nobody likes to feel rejected on a stage. Does that mean I lost? Yes, of course I lost. So I didn't want to do that to someone else. So it was a show where I had a bunch of people come up and they just got to pitch themselves to the audience. And we had some very funny comedians who asked follow-up questions, kind of like Shark Tank, which I've never really watched Shark Tank, but that's what I think happens, you know, kind of just like pressure testing the pitch. And then if you like what these people are saying, you go and shoot your shot after the show. And then if nothing happens, nobody has to know about it. If something happens, we all stare at you while you make out at the bar after. So then I took it to a bigger space in Brooklyn, a queer bar called Come On Everybody. And I've been doing it there since. It's evolved. It's so fun. It's super silly, chaotic, a lot of folks on stage. This podcast is going to be a different vibe. You know, I'm not going to make people do weird challenges, mostly because we're doing it over Zoom. And while there still are going to be a lot of jokes and fun moments, at least I hope, there should be. I've already recorded a bunch of these. This is more about having the deeper conversations and reflecting on what we think about ourselves as potential partners or lovers, how our past experiences have shaped us, what we understand to be our wants, needs, desires, and so much more. Wow, can you tell I go to therapy? Guests will be a mix of interesting people that I've come across through friendships, comedy, and podcasting, but there's also a general application linked on my Instagram bio. So if you want to be on this podcast, it could happen to you. Go over to TGI Carolyn on Instagram. That's TGICAROLYN, and fill out the application for it. And eventually you might hear something. How promising. And while you're on Instagram, go to @lovesapitch because that's where I'll be posting clips from the episode and pictures of the guests that you hear. And then you can have fun, nice, fun, supportive fun in the comments. So I'm looking for all sorts of folks, whether you're single or poly, or even if you're unsure about what you're looking for, just anyone who's looking to make some type of new connection. It helps if you can prove that you're a real human. Also, if you're not too nervous talking on a podcast, we want this to be pleasant and fun for people to listen to. And lastly, if you're willing to bribe me, all these things help. Just kidding. Kind of. Maybe. By the way, I've set up a Patreon. You know what that is if you listen to podcasts. If not, you can go over to patreon.com, patreon.com/lovesapitch and get access to a Discord that's all about love and dating. I can give you feedback on one of your dating app profiles. There's going to be extra content, Zoom hangs, etc. And etc. meaning I'm not quite sure yet because we're just getting started here. But I think there's a lot of fun to be had with this. For those of you who are just getting to know me, I identify as a lesbian. I first came out when I was 17, and that was when I had my first girlfriend. From then on, I was pretty much a serial monogamist. I eventually got married. I moved to New York. I was living in Atlanta previously. I got into comedy, got divorced. Did one thing lead to another there? Maybe it did, and maybe it did. Then I very quickly started seeing the most incredible person in my life, who is now my wife. I'm the luckiest. Her name is Cecilia. She goes by Ceci. And I'm sure I'll be bringing her up frequently. About a year and a half ago, we opened up our marriage and have dated both separately and together, which has made my already exciting life even more interesting. At least that's one way to put it. We've learned so much already, and we're going to keep learning and growing together on this journey that we're on. Okay, I know that was a lot I gave you up top, especially for you, Mom, if you're still listening. Now let's get to the good stuff. It's time for you to meet our guest for this episode. We've got Karina Strom from New York City here to pitch herself today. Now, those of you who have followed my journey from my previous podcast, you might already be familiar with her as intern Karina. And if not, she's brand spanking new, but I am extra excited about this episode because I felt like, you know, you were my intern. I wasn't going to talk to you about your dating life and your love life and any of that. Like, that just felt...
That was really appropriate, Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really appropriate.
And also, am I remembering this correctly that I'm the first out lesbian you met IRL? I think you told me that once.
I think you were the first out lesbian that I was, like, friends with.
Okay.
That I didn't just see in passing. So I was very... starstruck by you. I started as your intern my freshman year of college.
Yes.
So it was like my foray into the entertainment industry, but also just like adult lesbians.
That's a great intersection. And
yeah,
you know, you've come so far since those days. You've been on this incredible career journey, I think. We'll get into it. But first, tell the listeners, how do you identify?
I identify as a lesbian, as a cis woman, my pronouns are she, her. I think that's all I got for you there.
All right. That's all we'll give away right now. And let's just get right into your pitch. You've got 1 to 2 minutes to tell people what you're about and why they should date you.
Okay. So I'll start out by saying I also identify as a Minnesotan and as a Midwesterner. Okay. I was born in Minnesota, which means I was born with an actual medical condition where I am a nice and kind person. It comes with the territory. Okay. I'm also very neat. I'm very tidy, almost to a concerning degree. But that brings me to my next point, which is that I have been in therapy for 8 years. Okay. So it's not a problem. She's evolved. Okay. She's healthy. I speak an elementary level of French, which, you know, Carolyn, always something to want in a partner. I live off 2 major subway lines. Okay. In New York City. I'm a great masseuse. All right. Not even necessarily in a sexual context. I'm just very skilled at massage. All right. I wrote that I will commit to a bit for months, for years, for as long as I need to. A silly voice, a dumb thing between the two of us. I will commit. I have multiple Sims 4 expansion packs, almost all of them. If you're a player of The Sims, I have those at the ready for you. I will give you my login information. I am an Enneagram 2 Wing 3. For those of you who are Enneagram girlies, I am a sexual subtype, which if you're not into Enneagram, sounds fun and flirty. And if you are into Enneagram, it means something very different. Okay. I'm not going to tell you my astrological chart, but just know you can guess based off this. All right. I have a large collection of essential oils, soaps, and candles. And if that didn't give it away, I will tell you that I am an Alice sun, a Dana moon, and a Bet rising.
You know, you went just over, but I think that the big three L word, I think is more important than your actual astrological signs. Can you say those one more time? So you're an Alice sun?
I'm an Alice sun. I'm a Dana moon and I'm a Bet rising. But, you know, one thing that we could share as you get to know me is like, this is open for discussion. It's up for debate. And I would love to have a lively debate about that with anyone who comes my way.
I love that. I can see those because I think mine are probably similar, except I probably think I'm an Alice sun and moon. Though I'm always afraid there's Tina in my chart. Like, it's my worst fear.
Not the Tina in the chart.
That's like the insecure part of me is like, what if everybody thinks I'm a Tina?
But because isn't your moon kind of like who you are when you're alone with yourself in your most vulnerable and insecure state? Like,
I associate, yeah, like insecurity and just like wanting to be draped in blankets as a Tina thing.
Maybe there's a layer of Tina in your moon. I don't know. I switched mine around a few times because who really knows? It changes from day to day. But having Tina in the chart would be terrifying. I feel like some of the secondary characters would probably come up more in like all the like planets. You know, like characters who don't appear as much also won't appear in those like big three in the chart. I think they had us in mind, like queers loving astrology, like they had us in mind doing that kind of tiered casting.
Yeah, I'm surprised CoStar doesn't have an option, like a premium option that translates everything into L word characters, and they should hire both of us to sort that out for them.
I agree. And they should stop repeating, too, because we're just getting carbon copies of the same ones over and over again, and we need a bigger spectrum. That's what I think.
Yes. All about expanding the spectrum. But you wouldn't have time to take on that job because you're pretty busy these days. Where do you work?
So I did forget a major point because I was making a point to not say it first. And And then I forgot to say it at all, which is that one of the benefits of dating me is that I do have a cool job. I do work at a... We could make some dinner reservations at some places I might not regularly or may have not been able to get into before, make some calls. You know, that's some of the benefits.
Karina's fancy now. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. This is incredible. I love this journey for you, even though you are drinking wine with ice cubes in it right now. Red flag number one for our listeners. Why?
So okay, let me explain. I never drink wine with ice in it, but I'm on this like very gay, natural, sulfite free, vegan, unfiltered, organic wine shit like journey right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
And this is one that's supposed to be like super chilled when you drink it. And it's kind of not good if it's not really cold. So I'm making an exception for this wine and this wine only. And I'm glad I got that out there.
You're getting fancier by the second. Listeners, Karina's here with like candles lit, with her fancy ass wine chilled to perfection, wearing a smart blazer, just crushing it.
Look, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It happened quickly. It was a quick upswing into the fancy lifestyle, but that is only the one part of my chart. It's what I'm putting out to the public. And I think when I'm alone, I'm just Midwestern eating McDonald's and I'm just like a down-to-earth girl, you know, at the end of the day, I don't let the fame get to me.
She contains multitudes. She's staying grounded. Let's talk about this massage thing. Is this like a skill you had to pick up for survival in the Midwest? Like, is that how you like sucked up to your friends' moms? You're like, Debbie, you look tense.
I feel like it was definitely like some aunt, you know, would give me $3 to give her a back rub or something. Yeah, I think it's perhaps a natural skill. I also have very, very cold hands, naturally very poor circulation. And I think that actually aids the massage because if you get like migraines, headaches, whatever, it's like I'm putting an ice pack on you, but okay. It's just my resting state.
Great. So all you migraine ridden cuties out there, this is definitely a perk. Let's go back to quickly, because I meant to ask, who's the coolest celebrity you've met? Like the one that you've been the most like, about? Which lesbian? or was it not?
Yes, meeting Fletcher was a delight. yes, right. I did meet Fletcher in Miami. She was absolutely lovely. It's a close tie because I also met Brandi Carlile recently. And I think Fletcher was someone that obviously is many degrees away from me, but not that many degrees away from me. And she's younger.
Right.
And, you know, we have people in common and she's on TikTok and, you know, I felt like I could really like chat with her somewhat naturally, but like Brandi Carlile is a superstar. Like she just like emanates powerful, cool celebrity energy and her outfits and her beautiful British wife who was there and just, I mean, she was hosting SNL. So she was like soaking in all of that as well, but was so, 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 so sweet and so kind. That might be number one.
Yeah, yeah. And that's no knock to Fletcher.
No.
Like, I get the different, you know, Brandi Carlile is kind of more like legendary. You've been following her for years, Fletcher. Though you, if I remember correctly, you were into lesbian YouTube.
Yes.
So like Shannon had been on your radar for years.
Yes.
And then was that your like entree into Fletcher was Shannon?
Yes.
And so sorry for anybody who's like, what are they talking about? But also get on TikTok and get up to speed. If I can do it, you can.
Yes. One of the benefits of dating me is that I will and can create a, you know, a presentation. We can work through this. I've got all of this up here to work you through like all of the YouTube timeline. I did watch Shannon Beveridge and Cammie Scott videos back in the day of like very long, very boring YouTube blogs of lesbians who met on Tumblr just kind of walking around and doing a little card game challenge and drinking a beer. And like they said so much, yet also nothing. So I knew about Fletcher because to me, she was Shannon Beveridge's new girlfriend who happened to be a singer. And now how the tables have turned.
Right. I mean, there was a time where I would say lesbians just had to exist to have a following.
Like, completely.
If you could exist in the public sphere, you had a fan base.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And we still, I mean, I think we still do it to a different degree, but we definitely still do that.
Yeah, I mean, Gen Q has 3 seasons. How?
Right.
If you think of shows that have been canceled after 1 season, yeah, the bar can never be low enough for us.
And like, this is not me, you know, shitting on any of us, because just today, my coworker was talking about someone she knows tangentially that's a lesbian. I had never heard this woman's name. I knew none of the mutual people we were talking about. I go on Instagram. I was already following her. I couldn't tell you a single thing about that woman. We had 25 mutuals.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was already following her. And, you know, sometimes you just want to keep tabs, I think. Or at least I do.
Okay, so committing to the bit is something you said you're willing to do. Does that parlay into your commitment to relationships? Are you quick to commit?
Ooh, what a question. I don't think I am particularly quick to commit. Not that I'm afraid to commit, but I think I'm very conscious of the U-hauling stereotype around me. And I definitely am careful about pumping the brakes in that regard. I think the Bette Rising comes out when I'm very, very career oriented and very career focused. And it's like, I don't have time to like pump the absolute gas on a relationship to make it be the first thing. Even if I wanted to, I don't really think that I could. But where I am not a Bette Rising is that I am not a freak about commitment and monogamy.
Wait, you're not a freak about commitment and monogamy. So you're non-monogamous?
No. I'm saying Bette can't handle monogamy
Got it.
And I'm saying I don't relate to Bette in that sense.
Yeah.
That I can sit comfortably with a monogamous partner, unlike Bette Porter.
Got it. You're not a cheater.
Correct.
Yeah, you're young. There's still time. No, I'm just kidding. I don't see
there
that for you.
There's so much time.
There is a lot
there's
of time.
So much time.
But even though there's so much time, you're not messing around. You want a wife. You're looking for a wifey.
Yep.
Why?
Well, I did answer your little questionnaire preparing for this, saying that that the goal of this podcast was to find a wife. And I don't actually want to get married right now, but I feel like it's more of an energetic, I don't want to mess around with people that I don't really like.
Yeah.
I only like to bring people into my circle in friendships and relationships and whatever that I actually really like. I don't have time to like fuck around. And so I'm not actually looking to like have a wedding ceremony anytime soon, but I'm not really just dating around like to just meet people that I think are so-so and hang around and whatever.
Right.
Like maybe some younger people are.
Right. You have celebrities to tend to. And if if you have some free time that you're not putting toward, you know, taking over some media empire at some point, which you're on track to do, you want to make sure you're investing in someone that's going to have long term returns for you. That's someone that's worth investing your time in. So practical. So practical.
Yeah. You sound like my therapist, Carolyn, and you're so right. It is indeed practical. Exactly. I don't want to waste my time. I'm picky. I don't want to put up with things.
What are some red flags for you? Like, what are some things that pop up that you're like, nope, she's out, that help you like speed up the process?
Ooh, that's such a good question. Someone, this is a little bit more on the serious side, but someone who's very quick to anger and quick to arguments escalates emotions very quickly to like fighting, being angry, getting defensive. That's a no. Raising your voice, absolutely not. That will not be happening. It will not be tolerated or accepted in any way. If I get a sassy text that's like passive aggressive, whatever, no, thank you. That's a no. I think when a woman is like, all my exes were crazy. She was so crazy. Oh my God. She wronged me. I did everything right. She was so crazy. She was a bitch. She was this. You're the problem.
Yeah.
Is my guess. That's a no. I really do look at people's friends a lot. Mm. If people have a lot of bad, toxic friends around them that are like, that are encouraging toxic or like self-destructive behaviors, no thank you. Or friends that they're constantly fighting and people are in and out and there's all this drama, like, we're all too old for that.
Yeah.
I've had my share of, you know, friend drama, but when it drags on and on and on, I think that's a really bad look. It's a lot of just how people talk about other people. And this isn't really a red flag, but I judge people a lot on conversation. And if I go on a date with someone, I'm a very extroverted person. And if I'm coming in with the questions and I do my research, I got things to ask about. I'm asking about your job. I'm asking about your family. I remember things that you said. I'm going to bring it back up. I'm going to ask you how you felt about it. We're going to like get into it. If I'm like absolutely pitching them, volleying them over, and the returned question ratio is so low, I don't want to have a conversation with you anymore. And it's not even that I necessarily want to talk about myself. It's just like the effort that I'm putting into this conversation is not being returned at all.
Sure.
That's like my number one thing that I pick up on, for, not necessarily a red flag of a bad person, but I will pick up on that very quickly, that we're not having a back and forth.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, Carolyn, how are you? How's the family? How's upstate? Seen any good shows recently?
I did see a great show. Yeah.
Oh, what'd you see?
You know what? I'm going to plug it here. I don't know when this episode's coming out and if it's still running, but if you are in the New York area, you have to see Sam Morrison and his one-man show, Sugar Daddy. I saw it at the Soho Playhouse and it was phenomenal.
I've heard it's great. I'll have to go. Listeners, meet me there.
Yeah, if you have time to check it out during its run, it's really, it blew me away. And Sam's somebody that, you know, I've done shows and mics with him before, and I've heard him work out some of these bits to the show, and I was wondering how it would all come together. And I was laughing, like, out loud the entire time. It was so funny and so
good.
Wow,
that's great.
But that's all. Back to you, Karina. What's with The Sims? Why The Sims? Why are you so into The Sims? I mean, I played The Sims. I'm shocked that it's crossed these generational lines and it is still going, that they're still moving their arms above their heads, or has it evolved from, what are The Sims up to? Are they lesbians? Are they queer? Are they inclusive?
I was literally just going to say, my Sims are already all lesbians, so you don't even... It's taken care of.
It's an Olivia Cruz.
It's an Olivia Cruz in there for sure. Honestly, I haven't played Sims in a few years, but I was thinking about...
But you're ready. You're ready.
I'm ready.
If anyone
to
wants
go,
to jump back in.
I was literally just thinking of what collections of material possessions do I own? Because I live in a very, very tiny apartment. And I was like, sure, what do I even have to offer?
Right.
And one of them is The Sims. And I will say it has evolved. You can do all sorts of like adjusting. There's like an adjustment when you make your Sim where it's like, instead of just selecting man or woman, it'll be like, can this Sim get pregnant? Can this Sim pee standing up?
Oh.
Which clothes do you want to pick from? Like, and then you can just shape the body and do whatever. So it's a real expansive universe they've created.
Yeah, they've really eliminated the binary. I love how you're thinking about like this modern day dowry that you're looking to offer your future wife. And you're like, I may not have grandma's antique jewels, but I do have The Sims expansion pack.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I was thinking goods and services. Okay. We got maybe one to two goods in that list, a few services. I have to present what I can provide.
I'm not judging at all. Cecilia had a lot of Legos and I was into it.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. You got to present that up front. Exactly.
Yeah, it's something I wouldn't necessarily buy for myself anymore, but I love them at one point and now they're available to me whenever I want. And anytime, you know, I'm sick for a few days, I'm like, bring out that Lego set.
Do you guys share clothes? Can you share clothes? Have you? Do you?
Yes, we share a little bit, but not as much as you would think. I mean, we're similar in size, but it's only like if we really need to. I think we just have like our different styles.
Yeah, you guys have different styles. This is true. This is true. I will say I'm willing to share clothes. Putting that out there. I'm putting everything on the table, everything I own for this.
You know, that's a slippery slope. I had an ex that I shared clothes with more often, but she was a smaller pant size. So we bought like a suit and we shared the blazer, but we had the different pants and then we broke up and it was like, well, who gets the blazer? You know? And these are...
Oh, that's rough.
So you're on the apps, from my understanding, right?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Which apps are working best for you? And like, how long do you communicate with a person on the app before you're like, okay, I'm ready to meet them in person? Do you like to go through that quickly?
I do. I really think that communicating a lot pre a date is not a good measurement of how an in-person conversation is going to go at all.
Right.
And B, I think it puts a weird pressure on your meeting. If like you text, let's say you like text all day, every day for 3 weeks. And then, of course, it's so fun to go to your friends and be like, oh my gosh, we can't stop texting. We haven't even met. Then, like, let's say you meet the person and it doesn't work. Now, for some reason, it feels like you've been dating for a month when really right. you had like one drink for 45 minutes and all the emotions seem high and the stakes feel weird. And it's like, yeah, I think it just kind of throws everything off. I think after meeting up one time, I'm like, sure, let's communicate. But I like to I think it is much better to meet up with someone sooner. And regarding the apps, I think Hinge has been the best. I'm only on Hinge and Raya. And honestly, as much as I am paying real American dollars for Raya, I almost never have a match. I think I went through every lesbian or queer woman on Raya within a few weeks. And I matched with who I matched with, and I didn't match with, 99% of the people. And now they just kind of keep recycling them. And they're like, hey, remember this woman in New Zealand? Do you want her? Are you sure? And I'm like, no, because it assumes that you are rich and famous enough to
jet set anywhere.
To jet set everywhere, I guess is the idea, something like that. Or maybe they think you just are trying to network and you're never going to actually meet up with the person, but I haven't found it super practical.
That's what I've heard too. I mean, any lesbian I've known or bisexual woman who's looking for women, they're like, there are so few women looking for women on Raya and they're all international for some reason. But you're holding out. You're holding out. Who are you hoping is just going to bloop up on your Raya? Yeah.
Oh, God. Wow. You know who I did see? Did you watch the lesbian Hallmark Christmas movie about the Christmas tree farm?
I didn't, but I am familiar.
You are familiar?
Yeah.
Not the Zooey Deschanel bangs looking girl, but the other girl. I saw her and I used one of my very few direct message things where you don't just like the person, but you can actually send them a note. And I actually sent her a note. And I think my fatal flaw was that I was like, I saw the Hallmark Christmas movie. And I should not have said that. I should have kept that to myself because I think it was not a good look.
I don't know. I think that if your claim to fame is Hallmark movie, you're really excited to know that people watch that, right?
True. But is that the kind of person that you want to match with?
That's true.
She could have said thank you and moved on. But yeah, who do I want to see? I mean, I'm always hoping Jennifer Aniston is going to pop out of nowhere and come to the dark side. She's not, but that's okay. I mean, so many lesbians are married off. They're taken. Brandy's betrothed,
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see a lot of them just because I think it's such a weird, intimate thing to see someone's dating profile.
Sure.
I always see Halsey on there and I don't want to date Halsey, but I think it's so funny that Halsey's just snapping, mirror pics like the normal. I'm probably going to get kicked off for even saying any of this, but I'd be happy to see any lesbian on there, really.
Yeah.
There are so few people.
JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, I mean,
You wouldn't go for her. That's not your type.
I wouldn't. No, not my type at all.
Describe your type.
I won't say that my type is necessarily older, but I do have a pattern. Not a rule, but a pattern of dating older. Most of my celebrity crushes are older. Most of the people I've dated longer term have been quite a bit older.
What does your therapist have to say about that?
Well, honestly, because she's another Enneagram 2 Wing 3, I think she's kind of egging me on about that. And she's like, oh, it makes sense. Oh, you've so evolved. Oh, of course you would go for someone older. And I'm like, should you be reprimanding me a little bit more about this one? I don't really have a type looks wise. I mean, I like femme women generally. I don't really like to be taller than the person that I'm dating, but I'm not very tall. So that's not hard to find. Yeah, I think that that kind of covers it. I don't want to
limit yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to limit myself.
Yeah.
For the sake of the pod.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm kind of around the same, or it's like femme enough is like that's kind of my type, because if I lined up my exes, they would be all over the place, but sure, they all, I guess, what you would consider femme, at least at the time that I was dating them.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel like everyone I've dated has like a kind of more traditionally femme look, but there's a pretty solid spectrum of like what energy is behind the look, which I'm not picky about.
It sounds like you really want to be able to borrow their clothes.
Look, I have a lot of blazers, but I could do with more. As always.
I also have to point out that we do have the same Zara suit.
We do have the same Zara suit, which is a great suit. Do you always get compliments on it too?
Oh, I always get compliments on it. I feel like it's also very popular with femme lesbians. Like it is...
It's perfect. It's perfect because it's a suit, but it's tailored and it has flowers, but it's not like super like
frilly,
hyper girly, frilly flowers. It's like still sleek and black. It just has a nice detailing. It's very classy. You could do it with heels. You can do it with sneakers. It's a great suit. I'm sure your fans know the suit that you're referencing.
You know, I post it here and there, but that's the thing, though, when you have like a nice suit like that, you can't wear it too often because then people are like expecting it. You got to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, they're all waiting in the seats at your shows just like, is she going to wear it? I think she might wear it. It's been 3 months. No, it's been four. I think it's time. It's coming back out.
You know, I did meet somebody at this like lesbian circuit party in Orlando called Girls in Wonderland, and she was like, oh, you're the one who hosted those L Word watch parties at Henrietta Hudson, the one with the suits.
Yeah, I'm known a little bit around work for having a suit or having a blazer.
Yeah, you
true.
Have a good structured wardrobe game, I would say.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that that's something that some women are into. So how many times have you been in love before, would you say?
Ooh. I think I've probably been in love twice.
Okay.
But I was talking to a friend of mine where we're like, we were discussing the difference between loving someone and being in love with someone. Because I think there's definitely probably one of those people that I just loved. And I don't know if it was a very classic young lesbian yearning situation where I felt all those love feelings, but it wasn't like I was in a loving relationship with her. But I think I was feeling love. I was feeling in love for the first time. But it, you know, I don't know. Maybe those are a little bit different.
Are you usually the one who makes the first move, or do you like someone making the first move?
That's a good question. I do often make the first move. I think the question is, do I like to do it? I do it very often.
Same girl.
Yeah, I do. I do it very often. I wonder how much I like it. I mean, I think it's funny because there are kind of different ways to interpret what the first move is. Like, I think if you're like on a first date with someone, is the person who like scooches closer and like touches somebody's leg under the table the first move? And you, if you're the one inching closer the whole night and like leaning in and doing a little laugh and an arm touch and that whole thing, and then at the end of the night, the other person does a first kiss, do they get all the credit? Like, I did all of the the other work. Like, right, I set right. you up. I'm opening the door and saying, here you go. Come on in. I feel like I'm pretty good at that. But I mean, I like when other people make the first moves, but I don't want them to assume that that's going to be how it is, because that would bruise my ego. But I think at the end of the day, I do like it. I just want them to recognize that I'm also capable.
Everybody loves a bad date story. Do you have one that you can share?
Yes. I mean, I have many. I think that it's funny when I talk to my straight girlfriends and we compare bad date stories, and theirs are like literally attempted crimes. They're like with someone who should be in prison. And then mine are just like social faux pas, you know? So
yours are Judy Gold yelled at us at a comedy show.
Yeah. Judy Gold did yell at me on a first date. That's true. Ooh, that is a good story. I have a different one in mind. Listeners can just imagine what the hell that would be. Just imagine old school, wonderful comedian Judy Gold yelling at me and roasting me from the stage. I went out with this woman, and it was the thing of what I was describing before, where I asked a lot of questions. It would be like, do you have any siblings? Yeah, two. Oh, okay. Brothers or sisters? Brothers. You know, that kind of thing where I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm working overtime to make this a normal human interaction. And it was like that for every subject of things that we were talking about. She was sitting maybe 4 full feet away from me on this like booth bench thing that we were in, which is fine. I'm not saying you have to sit close to me, but it's just the energy was completely off. We had nothing to eat. We had only a full bottle of wine that she ordered without it. And I was like, I guess I'm committing to a full bottle of wine. Okay. And it kind of spiraled into her tearfully venting and complaining about hardships in her life to me, as if I was her close friend of many years, you know, oversharing things about her very recent boyfriend that she had just left and moved out of the apartment. And then it was her talking about how she worked in, I think, like marketing or finance or something, but she was talking about how really she thinks she could be a stand-up comedian.
Oh,
and nope. she had a notes app with funny things from the world.
Fake an emergency.
Yeah. She had noticed just funny things. And some of the funny little New York observations that she had seemed to be just kind of unhoused people existing on the train.
My first guess mm-hmm. was that it was going to be about people who are not at their best points in life, and mm-hmm. oh boy.
Yeah. And it's the classic, like, you know, came from a very wealthy upbringing, just moved to New York, and oh, I could be a comedian. Here's some funny things that I saw. And it's just like an actually tragic interaction with like a stranger on the first time you've ever been on public transportation. I was like, oh my God. And she wanted me to, you know, connect her with people in comedy, blah, 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 and wanted me to tell her if I thought she was good. And I don't mean this to be harsh, but then again, I do. She was one of the most boring people I've ever met. And I don't think that she should ever do comedy or anywhere close. She should not get close to a microphone ever. So that was bad. Kind of a lot of similar, just like, oof. I think I have something in my face or in my energy that makes people just start talking, spare no details, vent, cry, dump, share, whatever. The boundaries are gone. Maybe that's just queer women. I'm not sure. But when you're not into the person, it's a real vibe killer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well,
leave a little mystery, ladies.
Hopefully anybody who's listening to this and is interested in Karina, do not do that. Okay. Ask your friends first. Be like, am I boring? And if the answer is yes, don't, maybe look for someone else. Don't waste Karina's time. So speaking of our audience and who you want to hear from, get specific. I mean, you can be general, of course. You don't want to limit yourself too much, but like, what kind of women do you want to hit you up?
Wow.
Do they have to be based in New York?
They do have to be based in New York. Okay. Yes. Yes.
I don't know if you're into like tortured long distance relationships or not.
I'm not. I would really, really prefer someone who's based in New York. If you're not based in New York, but you really think that we are soulmates, go ahead. But I'd really, really love someone based in New York. I'd love someone who's driven and has a lot of passions, whether that passion is your work or another thing, just interests and hobbies. And even if those interests are like pop culture things, just something that you love and you're passionate about, then I can hear you talk about and I can talk about mine. Someone who has great friends, who has maybe a queer community around them, someone who is confident and self-assured and really in tune with themselves and has done the work, is evolved, is emotionally intelligent and smart and funny. I just keep going for 30 minutes. You're like, we've got to cut this down for the pod. Yeah. I think if you listen to me talk for however long this was, I trust that maybe you're someone I would get along with, because I think if we weren't compatible, you would have been like, oh my God, she's annoying, and close the app completely.
I don't know. Maybe they're sticking around for me, Karina. Did you think about that?
You're right.
What's your age? Right. Your age limit? Low end, high end?
I would say low 25, high 39.
Okay. So
big range.
Celine Dion doesn't make the cut.
Celine does not make the cut, unfortunately. She's in her own category. She's a special exception.
Is it like must love Celine, like must love dogs, but your thing is like you have to, or is that like just a bonus?
You actually must love dogs and you actually must love Celine. Those are both real.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't want somebody, you want to be on a road trip with someone, you put on one of your 10 Celine Dion playlists.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, what is this nonsense? Turn it off. You'd have to like jump out of the car. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. That can't be happening. I would like to hear only praise of her incredible vocal abilities and absolutely no criticisms. You can take those elsewhere. I don't want to hear them.
Great to know. How do you want people to get in touch with you?
I would love if people contacted me via Instagram. My Instagram is @Karina_Strom. And I think that's really all I have for the contact as of now. I guess you could call Carolyn's home phone line and just leave a message for me. Maybe she could transfer the call. But yeah, Instagram is best.
Instagram, listen up, listeners, because even though Karina's no longer a freshman in college, she will always hold an intern-sized place in my heart. So don't be a fucking creep, okay? Do not be a creep. Treat her like a lady.
Thank you for looking out for me. Or else we got to shut it down, change my Instagram @ if one person messes it up. No, thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate the protective first lesbian I ever met in real life nature. Appreciate it.
always here for you. Well, good luck. And I hope that you find your future wifey. Not getting married anytime soon, but I hope you find your future wifey through this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was a delight.
Karina is truly such an impressive person. She goes after what she wants and she works hard for the things she's passionate about. I'm always so happy to run into her at events around the city because she is so fun to talk with. And that is my little bonus pitch for Karina. Thank you for listening to this episode. Please follow me on Instagram at TGICarolyn and follow the pod account to see clips from this interview and images of Karina at Loves a Pitch. If you want to support queer love and help keep this podcast going, go to patreon.com/lovesapitch. And one last super important thing you can do is go to Apple Podcasts and rate this podcast 5 stars. Write a review that will help other people find it and help us grow the community of babes who are going to be pitching themselves. This podcast is produced and edited by Caitlin White, and the music is by Tin Mountain Audio. Thank you all for listening. Now I'm off to try to recreate the dinosaur weekend with The Sims.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.